I want to talk to you today about the person of Jesus Christ. Who do you think Jesus is? Do you believe that he was just a good man? Do you believe that he was a religious teacher? I'm sure you believe he was the founder of Christianity. But just exactly, if you were asked to, in your own words, put down what you think of Jesus Christ, what would you put down? I want to think of what the Bible has to say about him. In Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman born under the law." In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Now, certainly what we learn from this is that, as far as the Bible is concerned, Jesus Christ was eternally the Son of God. He was eternally in this relationship of being a son. Now, when we speak of this, we want to remember we're not speaking simply in physical terms. He was not born to God as a son. He didn't come into being through the Father. The Bible surely teaches that he's eternally the Son, but it's talking about this wonderful relationship, the Father and Son relationship, the intimacy, the love that we know in such a relationship. And this, it says, describes the relationship of God the Father and God the Son. And you remember last time we were talking about the Trinity and the fact that there are three persons involved here when we're speaking of God. According to the Bible, there's God the Father, there's God the Son, there's God the Holy Spirit. All are God, eternally God, co-equal in their power and in their authority. Now, the Bible goes on to say this, that not only was Jesus eternally the Son, but he's eternally God. And we would emphasize this. There are many false teachers and false teachings today and groups that would detract from the deity of Jesus Christ. There are many that will give him a high place. They may say he was even the best of men and a wonderful teacher, the greatest teacher of religion this world has ever known. And yet if they do not give him the place of being truly deity, why, they're not giving him the place the Scripture gives him. And let's notice several of these Scriptures. There are a number involved. I'll read two of them. The first one in John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made." Now, when it speaks here of the Word, of course, this is another way to describe the Lord Jesus. He's the one who is the message of God, who tells us God's message, who brings it to us, who lives it, and who was perfectly the one who expressed the Father. And so he's called the Word. And here it says of him, he was in the beginning with God. It doesn't say that he had a beginning, but in the beginning, as far as time is concerned, as far as this universe is concerned, Jesus Christ, the Son, was eternal. And it says all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that hath been made. And perhaps you were out today in your garden and picking some of your flowers. How amazing to realize the one who has made all things, the one who's created this beauty, is God the Son. All things were made through him. If you go out tonight and you stand out and look up at the heavens, to realize that these heavenly bodies that you see were all created through the Son. Without him was not anything made that has been made. So the Bible emphasizes that he has created all things. Now let me read over in the book of Hebrews also some verses that will emphasize this and bring out very beautifully here what the Lord Jesus has done. Verse 1, "God having of old time spoken unto the fathers and the prophets by divers portions and in divers manners," this means simply in various parts and various ways, "has at the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds," the universe, "who being the effulgence, the shining out of his glory, and the very image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So he's spoken of here as having been the one through whom the Father made the universe. He's the one that it says upholds all things by the word of his power. This universe keeps functioning. It keeps operating because it's the will, it's the power of God the Son, the Lord Jesus himself, upholding all things by the word of his power. What an amazing claim it is for him, eternally the Son of God. Now, he claimed this, and he proved it in his life, didn't he, and in his miracles. His teaching, his miracles, all were proofs that he is God. Nicodemus came to him and said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do the things that thou doest except God be with him. He was marked as being one come from God. There was something divine about his teaching, about his actions, about his life. Never man spake like this man, they had to say of him. Never anyone lived like he lived. A perfect, holy life. So his teaching, his works, his words, all prove that he is God. Now, in his claims, too, he made some tremendous claims. And I hope you'll consider this. Perhaps some of you want to give him a place, and yet you find it very difficult to accept his deity. You say, well, I believe he was a man, a great man, a wonderful man. If he were living today, what a blessing he would be in this world. And so you give him a very high place, and yet you're reluctant to really say he's God. You say, I can't do this. In John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus was speaking to some of his enemies, and he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, or was born, I am. They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Now here the Jews say to him, you're saying that Abraham rejoiced to see your day. He was happy because he saw your birth. They didn't understand what he was talking about. He was speaking here of the fact that Abraham, through prophecy, realized there was one coming. The promise was given to him that through him, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And so Abraham rejoiced to look forward to the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. But the Lord Jesus here uses this as an occasion to really press his claims as God. And he says to them, before Abraham was born, and Abraham was born roughly 2,000 years before this, and here the Lord Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am. And this was the title of deity, Jehovah, the eternally existent one. And here the Lord Jesus, standing and facing these who would accuse him, makes this tremendous claim. He says, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, I'd like to suggest to you that if you refuse to accept his claims here as God, as the eternal one, that then you should not give him any place at all in your thinking. He was insane if you made these claims and they're not true. Or else he was a fraud. He was deceptive. He was deceiving the multitudes. Unless these claims are true. But don't call Jesus a good man. Because as has been said, if Jesus is not God, then he is not good. Because his claims and all, his actions, his words, in every way he said that this was true of himself. And if he's a liar, he's not good. What wonderful, amazing claims. Before Abraham was born, I am. You know, I'd like to say that I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is God. That he's the one who made all things. He's the creator. He's the eternal one. And he's the one, my friend, that one day you're going to stand before. You will face him, either as your savior with joy in your heart, or you'll face him as your judge with fear and with trembling to be judged for your sins. Now, he's not only God, he is man. And we don't need to say as much about this, perhaps, because it's generally accepted. Every Christmas season, we think about his coming as man. Every time you write down a date, whether you think about it or not, you're celebrating his coming. Because we divide our time, don't we? B.C., before Christ, and A.D., the year of our Lord. And so every time you write a date, you're giving your assent to the fact that Jesus Christ was born. The Bible says that he's man. He was born of a woman. He was born of a virgin, the Bible claims. He was tempted. He went through all the experiences of life. He knew what it was to be hungry, to be weary, to be tired, to be thirsty. All of these experiences he went through. He knew what it was to be tempted, to be tested, to have Satan try to break him down, to have Satan assault him repeatedly. And yet he constantly withstood and lived the perfect life. He went through all the experiences we know, even to go through death itself. The Bible says he tasted death. He knew what it was to go through the awful pain, the awful fear of death, and a most terrible death, the death of the cross. And yet he was unique, perfectly man, and yet unique, because the scripture emphasizes those who lived with him claimed this. He was without sin, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. This is what the scripture claims for him. And I believe this. I believe he was the sinless, perfect Son of God. Now, he died on the cross. He paid for your sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about this wonderful resurrection, but we will at a future time. He's ascended now. He's coming back again. What do you think of him? Have you received him as your Savior? The Bible speaks of being saved. Are you saved? Do you know your sins are forgiven? What you do with Jesus Christ will determine what he does with you. And the Bible makes it very plain. The Lord Jesus himself said this, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Oh, that you even now would accept him as your Lord and Savior and be saved.